But just know that if I'm talking, what the video is going to pick up is what my screen. So if you hear me talking for any length of time, you got to clear your throat, drink, you know, pick your nose, whatever. Just know if I'm talking, you're on the good. All right. Yeah, we'll stare at each other awkwardly for like 5 seconds and then we'll jump in.
You're listening to That Church Podcast with Justin Dean and Van Baird. We help digital communicators tell the best story the church has to tell. Learn more about our conference, regional workshops, and online training and resources at thatcc.com.
Well, welcome into That Church Podcast, where we help digital communicators tell the best story the church has to tell. Hey, everyone. I'm Van Baird. I'm one of the co-founders, along with Justin Dean, of That Church Conference. Today's episode is with a new friend of ours, Travis Walzer. Travis has a little bit of a different title in the church world. Many of you know what it means to be a reformer in the church world. Travis is actually a former, just a former. Specifically, he's a former website project manager, a former project director, a former worship leader, a former youth pastor, and a former media coordinator. He's now a graphic designer for a huge Southeastern church, Olive Baptist, and a blogger on creative church communications and marketing strategies over on his website, traviswalzer.com. Before we jump into our time with Travis, can I just take a sec to say thank you to all of you that are downloading this podcast? Especially thank you for the reviews that we get. If you have a second, you should really check out the only 4-star review that we've gotten on our podcast. All the other ones are 5-star. So while you're there, maybe take a second to leave your own review and tell folks why our content helps us help more digital communicators tell the best story the church has to tell. Speaking of equipping those church communicators, be sure and check out our Chicago Intensive Workshop that's coming up on April the 25th. Just go to thatcc.com and it'll be obvious where to go for the next intensive workshop. We're going to be at Soul City Church with a room full of church communications folks doing what we do best, which is helping digital communicators tell the best story the church has to tell. It's a one-day intensive workshop, and our speakers are Mark McDonald, and he'll be speaking on ways to know whether your church brand will succeed and how to fix it. That's always important. Lauren McAllister is the social media manager for First Baptist in Jacksonville. Great title, Down the Rabbit Hole. So a little shout out to Alice in Wonderland. Turning negative social conversations into positive ones. We can all learn from that. Ben Stapley, the creative arts pastor at Liquid Church. Processing church communication requests, which we can all identify with, right? Danny De Los Reyes is the media pastor at North Place Church. His video, his promotional video for him speaking in Chicago, just says a ton about how good he is at what he does. And he'll be speaking on creating and sustaining a thriving volunteer culture in your department and how critical is that when you're trying to grow your ministry area. We're going to be broadcasting the entire day via live stream on thatcc.com. And our live stream is only able to happen because of our friends over at Tithely. You guys know Tithely, right? They're the innovators in church giving, super simple platforms to help your attendees give to your church. Be sure and check them out over at get.tithe.ly, get Tithely. The cost for the live stream is $149, but that's a pretty good deal when you consider that it's you and your entire team that can watch and soak in what our speakers will be delivering in the room. If you're wanting to join us in person, the price just went up March 1st, so don't miss out on any future price increases. Go ahead and jump online. There's a few tickets left over at thatcc.com. After Chicago, we're going to be in Nashville, July 14th at Cross Point Church, and then our big Atlanta conference will be September 26th and 27th, and we are super stoked. We're almost, by the time this airs, we'll be 200 days away from our Atlanta conference, so we're wheeling and dealing and getting as much done as we can to make that the best conference yet. But what about 2018? Where should we go? What cities should we go to in 2018? We've been to San Diego. We're going to Chicago, Nashville. Where should we go in 2018? Jump on Twitter. If you're not following us, we're at thatchurchconf, thatchurchconf. Tweet at us. Let us know what city we should go to. If you do that, we'll actually reply to you via DM, and we'll give you a discount code for the live stream, to attend, even to use if you want to join our pro membership. So check it out. Let us know where to go in 2018. Getting back to today's guest, Travis Walzer. I'm sure so many of you are going to be able to identify with the Swiss Army knife, quote unquote, of tools that Travis has in his communications toolbox. He's just done a little bit of everything, like so many of us in the ChurchCom world, which makes it super easy to talk to him about just about anything digital related. He wrote a blog post earlier this year. It's actually a video, which is super appealing to those of us with ADD. He vlogged about social media trends for churches in 2017, so we spent our time catching up with Travis and talking about those trends to look out for this year. So for all of you listening, sit up, don't relax, and get ready to learn from our buddy, Travis Walzer. Hey guys, thanks for tuning back into That Church Conference, whether on the podcast side or here on the website. And my name is Van Baird. I'm one of the co-founders of That Church Conference. Usually I'm joined by our better half, Justin Dean. He's definitely smarter than I am, but he got caught up on a call today while we were doing the recording, so he can't jump in. But it's kind of cool because we get to do just like a Jimmy Fallon thing where I'm one-on-one with a guest on the couch. So Travis Walzer, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I'm really excited to be here today and be talking to you guys about some great church communication stuff.
Yeah, for sure. You're one of those that we get really excited about because we just kind of, you found us organically through other people and friends. For those of us listening that don't know you and the church that you're associated with, just kind of take us through what you do for your church, how you got there, and what you do on a day-to-day basis.
All right. I'm the graphics designer here at Olive Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. I came here about 2 years ago now and started out part-time, worked my way into a full-time position doing communications and graphic design here in the church. I basically handle the website. I handle all of our internal focused communications, so connection groups, preschool ministry, high school, all of our student ministries, all that stuff kind of goes through me for promotion and marketing. I came here after a stint in the private sector doing marketing, and so I get to relate a lot of that to what I do now, but I still am learning every day something new. So,
yeah, and we love talking to folks that have done both, you know, had their toe in both pools, so to speak. So I think both can learn so much from the other. What's been the easiest thing to implement from the business world into the church world, if you had to guess?
I think the easiest thing to implement has been just creating the value add as far as promotion goes for events and stuff. You know, you can over-advertise things all day long, but creating content that really adds value to people's lives and through that organically reaches them and gets them interested in what we're doing has been the easiest thing to implement overall.
Yeah, and I would say, and you can, you know, argue this, that it's been because the church hasn't had the content, or they didn't realize they had the content. They were struggling with how to engage with people on the different platforms. And when the light goes on that, oh, wow, we've got content literally every Sunday morning, it does make that easier to implement. So that's good. What's been the biggest challenge on the church side that you knew from the business world?
Biggest challenge has been, and always is, changing people's viewpoint on what good design is. You know, when you come in as a graphic designer to a business or a church, I think the big thing is you're here to make something pretty. Mm. And changing the opinion on that to be, actually, I'm here to do some well-researched work and make things effective, make sure that we're reaching the right audience with what we have going on.
Right.
It's the most effective thing that it can possibly be.
Yeah, so you have to combat the people that think papyrus font is pretty.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a hard challenge.
Everything is kind of subjective, but being able to come in there and be like, well, you know, you might think it's pretty, but right. The teenagers that you're trying to reach, they've seen that and they don't particularly care for it.
So. No. Let's hope they don't.
No, let's hope so.
We'll talk a little bit about the setup of the staff at the church and just the demographics, because I think that's always a fun challenge for somebody new coming in, going to have conversations that might be challenging in a good way to, you know, a staff that may have been doing things for a certain way for a certain amount of time.
Absolutely. Well, we have our executive staff, which heads up, you know, the most of our church. That includes our pastor, our executive pastor, and just those staffs underneath him. We also have an educational pastor who's over our educational department. The vast majority of people that I deal with are our educational ministry staff. So people that are over certain ministries like middle school, high school, military, our mature adults ministry, preschool, and our children's ministry. So those people are the main people that I deal with. But we have a really good handle on as far as leadership across those various boards and really disseminating out those responsibilities to people. So I kind of walked into a situation where, you know, we had some great leaders who had been doing stuff for a long time a certain way, and being able to come in and give them a new viewpoint on what they're doing and really approach it from the position of, you know, I'm here to help you. I really want to help you succeed and help you win.
Yeah. So
that was wonderful.
Yeah. That's a pretty healthy approach.
Yeah.
Because I've heard horror stories, you know, as far as, you know, new people and trying to affect change. And so to be that helpful voice and, you know, moving the ship forward is probably the healthiest approach you can take.
Absolutely. I think you always kind of have to approach it from the point of, how can I help you? You know, if you come into it with the attitude of, I really want to help you, you know, not only do better, but help you do this easier, help you do this in a way that's more efficient, more productive, and anything that I can do to help you, I'm for you.
Right. Super healthy. Yeah. So good. So, well, you know, we were talking earlier offline, you know, nobody's just a graphic designer in their church. And we kind of touch a lot of different things. And, you know, in prepping for our interview, you had a really interesting blog post that you put up that by the time this airs and we put this on our site, and we put it on the podcast, you know, will have been up for, you know, about 45 days. But I think it's really timely. It's a really good video of you talking about just the social media changes and the trends that you see in 2017. So this is obviously more than just graphic design. But can we touch on just some of those things that you see that are coming that maybe churches should be paying attention to, and just kind of give us a little bit of the why behind, you know, what you think is coming and the trends that are coming and why you think we should be paying attention to those?
Absolutely. You know, live video was a big deal last year, like ended up the year. You have Snapchat going on. Instagram just rolled out its live disappearing video stuff. And so many people are leaning more towards that area of engagement right now. Instagram stories, you know, they're terrific right now. Mm-hmm. Just the reach on them is amazing.
Yep.
I really see a lot of other social media platforms move into that, you know, coming up this year. Mm-hmm. I'm really going to see something from Twitter and Facebook with disappearing video. But right now, that's a huge deal. And really, really being able to jump into that and capitalize on that and find useful ways to engage with the audience that really is enjoying that media. So you have high schoolers, you have middle schoolers, you have a lot of college age and millennials that are leaning more towards that disappearing ethereal video that's kind of there. And being able to engage with that is going to be a big deal this year, as much as it was at the end of last year. But it's only going to grow from here going forward.
Why is that? Can you speak to that a little bit? But why is that so such an attractive platform where stuff disappears? Because, you know, in the vast audience that we speak to, there's a big majority of people will go, that just makes no sense, Travis. Fill us in. Why should that be a big deal?
I think it's really just the genuineness of it. There's a certain amount of, you know, I got to see that, but it's something that was specific to me. I got to see it in the moment. It's the in the moment kind of stuff that's really kind of rolling forward right now. Stuff that can't really be too advertising related because it disappears so quickly. It's there and it's gone.
Right.
So really it becomes this really organic type of content that people relate to and people use.
Yeah, I'll get those notifications on Instagram. And I think it kind of depends on who the person is that's going live or the account that's going live. But they're doing a great job, if you go to the discovery page, of just showing you all the people that you could potentially watch that are live at that moment. And I think they have a whole page now of the people that are live at that moment for you to choose from. And it's a little bit of a voyeuristic kind of approach. You get to look into somebody else's world. And, you know, for so long, the church has been, hey, show up on Sunday and you'll get what we have. And now you've got so many other avenues for letting people see what your church and the personality of your people that work there are there. What are some ways you guys are utilizing that or going to be utilizing the live video?
We've definitely utilized it a little bit more here lately. I know we have some DNOW event stuff that we just did because we're getting ready to do some Disciple Now, which is high schoolers and middle schoolers. So we've had some heavy promotion of that. I know our Kingdom Men Conference, so our men's conference has been using that. We have some of our people that are really heavy in education, and really heavy into our men's ministry, kind of plugging that, but doing it in a way that is just really organic and really helpful.
Yeah. So, all right. So live video, what else is going to be a trend in 2017?
I know last year, the whole Pokemon Go craze really like threw me for a loop. I watched a lot of churches really get into that and just loved it. And they were really in a way that I think engaged their students, but also engaged, you know, parents and it was amazing. And I think AR and VR is just going to grow as the years go, I don't see a lot of businesses like really, really heavily capitalizing on that right now. So I think churches could be a huge first adopter of just that tech. I know I write in the post where I talked in the post a little bit about, you know, doing a walk through Jerusalem VR style, and just how cool that would be to have the ability to show people instead of just tell people.
Right.
Or even like training people for mission trips and being able to take them to that culture in a virtual reality environment and say, hey, you know, here's what you need to watch out for. Here are some things to consider. And getting a look at that culture before you even get to that environment would be just amazing.
So virtual reality. We have a camp, a high school camp called Vertical Reality. Totally just Freudian slip there. But virtual reality, I think the majority of people may have heard of, you know, there's so many, you know, the VR glasses and you see that more, but the AR that you refer to, the augmented reality, which would be, you know, the filters on Snapchat. Now Facebook has got those too. Those really seem to be something that, you know, the church especially could adopt. What are some ways you can see, because you said you're not so sure about businesses, but what are some ways that churches could adopt the AR and utilize that for growth and, you know, for reaching more people for the gospel?
One of the ways that I kind of considered using this before was being able to walk into a church and pull out your phone and look around the building and see where you need to go. Being able to locate the worship center at a glance, being able to locate connection groups and Sunday school classes at a glance, and knowing exactly where you need to go and just making the first visitor experience something that's really easy, something that's really comfortable. You know, you don't feel out of place because you don't know where to go.
Right.
And allowing that to kind of happen is just, I think that would be a great use for augmented reality for a church.
Yeah. So for those of you listening that have never seen that, I mean, you just literally pull out your phone and there's just a virtual map that shows you where everything is based on what you're looking at. What your phone's looking at and showing you how to get around a lot easier than now. What would you say though is, you know, that brings up, well, that's losing the personal connection. So how do you balance using AR and things like that with how do you speed up the personal connection process by using that stuff?
I think you really still need the personal connection process, but now instead of focusing on the mechanics of getting people to where they need to go, you get to focus on the relationship aspects of what it actually means to meet and greet people and make those real connections. A lot of the time, you know, we find ourselves, especially with greeters, escorting people to their connection group room, but then you never really get to connect with them again. Mm-hmm. And having a way to kind of eliminate that mechanical part of that and focus on the relationship aspect of it is a great thing, or could be a great thing, depending on how well you kind of augment that process.
Yeah, I think that's if people in churches in general can get over that hurdle of that this is an impediment to relationships and realize no, this is going to speed up the relationship process. And when you start identifying with the culture that we live in a good way, that I don't go to a new restaurant without pulling up Yelp or Google reviews or, you know, asking people what's a good place to eat in San Diego. You know, we just got back from there, and so we depended on our friends to tell us, but. You know, if we can use technology and some of those, you know, augmented realities or the virtual realities to help people see what we're about before you step foot on campus, it can be such a it can break those barriers and make it that much easier. Maybe take somebody from online to offline, you know, and you know, I've been worshiping with you online, but now you can make it easier and easier to feel like they're part of the church and give them more of an incentive to actually visit the campus because they'll feel like they know it already.
Exactly. Even having the virtual experience of coming in and sitting down in the classroom and seeing what that's like. If from the first moment I walk into a church as a visitor, I feel like I have to be shown how to do something or I have to be somehow kind of handled. Mm-hmm. I already go on the defensive. And then you create this relationship barrier that now becomes hard for your teachers to overcome. It becomes hard for your staff to overcome. Yep. So being able to eliminate that and create that comfort zone for first-time visitors, for people visiting your church in general, is a great thing and could be a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, just one more barrier. If you've got a crying baby in your arms or a toddler that's just squirming and you've got to fill out a visitor's card and then you got to go meet everybody and you're not real sure where you're going, it's just another reason to not go on Sunday mornings. And you can eliminate all that by doing it well. And I think, you know, that'll be dependent on more and more people having the virtual reality pieces, you know, to actually, you know, view that. But good stuff there. What else? What else is a trend in 2017?
Another big trend is going to be paid advertising. Mm. So this was a big one for me. Facebook ads have been amazing for us. They've been amazing for a lot of churches.
Yeah.
That trend is going to continue. And even now, like Facebook and some of the other social platforms that you have out there are starting to roll back their organic content a little bit more in order to create more advertising space.
Yep.
So paid advertising is just going to increase. So being able to, especially at the beginning of this year, you know, we're right into that first month and budget years are coming up. So knowing, you know, what do I need to budget for this year for social advertising is really important. And I think sitting down and examining that and saying, you know, what kind of reach do I want this year for church social media advertising?
It's so efficient, you know, and, you know, we've had discussions about Facebook advertising in the past, but there are still churches today that spend loads of dollars on mailing things. Like physical mail and invitations or postcards or, you know, how to get the word out that way through a newsletter. And it's so, you can drill down so specifically. Talk about some of the ways y'all are using the Facebook ads platforms. I mean, are y'all doing all the different, are you building audiences? And if so, which ones are working well for you guys?
Absolutely. David and I get to work a lot together on that. Right now we have something going on called the Sharper Conference.
Okay.
And it's for ministry leaders in our area. So it's some of our more specialized church staff kind of teaching and educating people on some of the practices that we use here at the church.
Mm.
And being able to target that down and aim those ads directly at people in those positions and say, hey, you know, we don't want to waste what God has gifted us with as far as our budget. We want to use it as efficiently as possible. And being able to say, hey, you know, we want to show these ads to these people. And then really analytics plays a huge part in that. I love Facebook ad analytics.
Yeah.
Look at it and say, you know, where was my money spent? What was my most effective ad? And we run two or three and kind of look at what are people engaging with? What are people not engaging with?
Right.
And being able to have that return on investment, that's something you don't get in mailers.
No.
You know, you don't get all those analytics. You don't get those deep numbers, those deep metrics that you can look at. So that's a great way we've been using Facebook ads here lately.
Yeah, it's brilliant, really. The things that the information that they have and the ability for us to tap into it is so key. So, well, man, between the virtual reality and the augmented reality and the Facebook advertising and just what we're going to see, you know, live videos going, there's so much for people to wrap their minds around. And your blog and your video talks more about that. But if you could pinpoint, like, what's the one thing, if you could really encourage someone listening, like, where would you start if you had to pick among the things that we've been talking about? What would you, where would you spend your time and effort this year?
I would definitely spend it on live video. Live video is just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And even apart from live video, just video in general gets so much more interaction on social media. And it's so easy to do now. You know, you have the iPhone 6, the iPhone 7. Those cameras on those phones are amazing. You really don't have to have much in the way of just a huge amount of equipment now to do great video or to do great video advertising or video content. So being able to use those and have those tools readily available, diving into the video right now, it's just the easiest thing to do. It's the easiest thing to do for a church.
Yeah.
And especially with live video, lately we've been really focused on, you know, how are we going to create the content for our live video and focusing on testimonials, focusing on the story of your church and telling that story through the various people that go to your church. It's so easy, especially with live video. People are wary of getting in front of a camera if they know video is going to be up forever.
Right.
And live disappearing video takes that fear away. It's going to be up for a day and it's gone.
Right.
But you still get to tell that story.
Yeah. So, you know, different platforms that have different approaches. Facebook Live will live forever if you want to upload it. You know, the Instagram stuff will go away. But yeah, I think there's two different approaches there. But I think what I heard you say and what I hope others did too is that you need to tell a story. It doesn't just need to, you know, turn the camera on and show what, you know, is going on in the room, but to have people that can tell a good story and tell it well. You know, the church has the best story ever in the gospel and what Jesus did. So, you know, to continue to utilize those tools is so important. And so I'm glad that, you know, Mount Olives has equipped you in different areas, and sounds like you know a lot about a lot, and real thankful for your ministry down there. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. It's a blast.
It was good. Thanks, Travis. Talk to you soon.
All right, you too.
Thanks for listening to That Church Podcast with Justin Dean and Van Baird. Visit us at thatcc.com for additional resources for church communicators.